Thank you. Before I turn it over to Nita and Ricky, I'd like to take care of one admin thing before we get started. We've had an issue with our Dropbox database. There's been some kind of glitch. So if you did not receive a notice about tonight's meeting from me, please email me your name and your current email. If you've had any changes in your address, your phone, or email, please email me, and we'll get this info updated. You can email me at kinc@worldforjesus.org, all lowercase. And we've also had a number of emails kicked back from PCO training, somewhere around 15 or so of those for some time now. We tried to trace down the people and get updated emails. We have been unsuccessful. So if you come to PCO training but you're not getting the notices from me, please, again, email me your name and your email address, and I'll make sure that that's changed in the database. Okay, that's about all I have. Nita, are you on?
Yes, I am, Ken. Thank you.
Well, we're going to turn this over to you. Thank you for coming and being with us tonight.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. I'd like to invite Ricky to talk before I do. I hope and trust tonight will be helpful to you to understand where we're going and why, so that you can give that to the people who serve in ministry under your care. So, Ricky, honey.
Hi, everyone. It's so good to be on with you guys. I didn't realize until I was listening to the music how much I missed this time with you. So I just want to thank you guys for being here. I'm very excited that we get to have this time where mom can come and instruct us and give us some guidance for the prayer times that we're engaging in. God is shifting us, and it's very important that we align ourselves with him. And she's going to go into all that, and maybe I can come in after her and, you know, share anything that the Lord's put on my heart to kind of, you know, because she doesn't really need much follow-up, does she? But I just want to give her the opportunity.
Honey, are you saying that I talk so much?
No, I'm saying that you're so thorough. I don't need anybody to come in after you. I'm like, you know, for me, yes, come in and fill in the blanks. But for you, you don't really need that. So I could just summarize it in my own words, I guess. So I just really want to give you this opportunity. Go ahead, Mom, and share with us. And then, you know, maybe I can add something in at the end or something.
Yeah, I think you'll be able to.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Okay, so again, I want to thank you for joining us. I feel like tonight is very important in the heart of God. I live to try to please him. I live to try to do what I know is pleasing his heart today. I may not be able to do that tomorrow, but I try to do that today. And I'm saying that because I really believe that our meeting together tonight is something that is of great pleasure to him. We are in the process, you might say, of transformation in what we're doing on phone, online work, and moving forward in the work of the GOE. What the Lord put upon our hearts was initially to intercede then he kind of moved us and declarations, praying in intercession and in declarations and commands. Then he moved us again and told us to start praying the scripture over the areas in which he was telling us to pray. And it might be interesting to you that we don't, no matter how much it seems like one thing or another needs to be prayed over, we don't pray over them unless the Lord tells us to. Whatever we bring online for us to pray over is done because this is what he has said he wants. So that's what we do. And we hope by doing that, that we're going to hit the target every time. We're going to please his heart. We're going to comfort his heart. That's how he sees repentance, as if it's coming from the heart. He once told me years ago in a gathering that repentance comforts his heart. And if the Lord's heart is comforted, he's free to bless. He's free to move the way he wants to move, to heal a land, heal a nation, heal a situation, heal a person. When his heart is comforted, it opens doors of access that he then has in the life of the person, city, state, church, nation, and so on. So repentance is vitally important. Identificational repentance, also vitally important. People have asked me for years, why do you do identificational repentance? And I'm going to tell you so that if anyone asks you, you can tell them. The Lord, and I'm not going to go through how he did this, but the Lord took about a year and a half teaching me the value of identificational repentance. He would show me someone, ask me to pray for them, to repent on behalf of sins that they had committed against him, but had never repented of. And in every case, the person at that time would be in trouble. If it wasn't a person, it was a church. If it wasn't a church, it was a city. But he was busy teaching me the value of identificational repentance. This is why Daniel was used in that. This is why Nehemiah was used in that, because God needed that repentance so that he could turn situations around for Israel. So, identificational repentance is seen as a beautiful typology in the high priest of the Old Covenant. When he would go in before the mercy seat and he would carry the children of Israel on his breastplate and the stones over his shoulders, he would be going in under the auspices of identificational repentance for Israel. And because he did that, Israel was, you might say, healed for another year. And so we see it played out in the Old Covenant, but we also see in the New Covenant the use of identificational repentance. And of course, if you've ever come to the gatherings, you will see tremendous fruit from every gathering wherein we have done identificational repentance. Tremendous fruit, not small fruit, but tremendous. And I'm not saying that to brag on us. I'm saying that to brag on the mercy, the grace, and the care of our God. So, identification, repentance, intercession. Jesus, we know, is the great intercessor. And he ever lives to intercede for us. I have been with him, I don't even know how many times. I lost count of that a long time ago, where he and I would pray together, and he would teach me how to pray. I can remember one experience in Israel, the room, the only room that the place had that we had reservations in, the only room that they had left over after they served the needs of everyone I took to Israel, was full of mold. The wall had broken through that day, and there was mold and mildew on the inside of the wall because of the bad pipes. Now, I am insanely allergic to mold, and I don't do too well with mildew. So I walked in the room, and I thought, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do now? Because I could already hardly breathe. And the Lord took care of it because he came and got me and took me up into the heavens. And I spent the next 6 hours praying with him as he taught me how to pray for Israel. And you'd be amazed. I mean, I always prayed the scripture. And he showed me what passage, what kind of passages to look for in praying for Israel. So I prayed the scripture. Everything that he had me pray was had parts of it to do with repentance, identificational repentance. And he sat there with me and wept. I mean, he used my Bible. He opened the Bible, pulled the scripture out that he wanted to use. And he would read the scripture, and then he'd look at me and he'd say, now, over this scripture, pray like this. And he would just weep and weep and weep so hard that I began to weep just watching him weep. So identificational repentance was something he taught me. So we do that in the gatherings, and we've done it on our phone line. Identificational repentance, intercession, and that literally means to save or to deliver the one that is in trouble and can't help themselves. So we do that, and we do it over the nation. America can't help itself. Whatever needs to be done to this nation, God needs to do. So our intercession opens the door for him to do that. Then we have, he gave us congressional authority 1 year. We were in Washington, D.C. We were crossing a highway near the Capitol, and the Lord just spoke to me out of seemingly nowhere and said, I now give you congressional authority to help you in your quest to heal this nation. So we've been functioning in that ever since. Now, as I said, that's been years. We've never made an issue of it until just recently, when I think the team almost felt like it was important for them to do it. But I told them just recently it wasn't something they always had to do, because you, the people who come to your prayer cells, when you're together under the auspices of this ministry and you're praying for the nation, you are under, what is the word I want? It means...
The covering?
Go ahead. No, I was thinking, you know, when you delegate, that's the word. You are under delegated authority, which is, in this case, congressional authority. So you really need to make sure that you're praying what God wants you to pray. So, but you don't have to say that you're praying under congressional authority, because God knows that, and so does the devil. So just pray, just make sure that you're praying what God is really saying, and he will affect it. And there is greater anointing on that congressional authority. The beauty of it is that you can declare and decree a thing. And, you know, I know that that kind of praying has been around forever in the body of Christ, but this has a special authority for the healing of this nation. It's like the Congress. When the Congress decides a thing, it becomes effectual over the whole nation. It becomes, as it were, a law over the whole nation. And it's the same thing when we are praying under congressional authority. You are establishing a law that the enemy would have a very difficult time setting aside. And so you need to make sure your words of love, words of wisdom, words of God, and you can establish it under this congressional authority. Next is that's decreeing and declaring. Next is praying the word. I don't think that's real hard to do. I think any intercessor can get scriptures out of the Bible that align with the subject matter of prayer. And so what we do, and what I'm trying to help my team establish, is that we're not just reading scripture and calling it prayer. It needs to be quoted under authority. It needs to be quoted in passion. And it needs to be, as it were, decreed. So the word becomes the royal staff, you might say, that a king would use to decree a thing in his court. Very, very powerful. And the Lord showed me, and I'll ask Ricky to share what she saw, when he told me that we were to start doing this. I saw scripture coming out of my mouth, going up in the air until it looked like a rod across the nation from north to south. Attached to this rod were these scriptures that were making this like translucent, transparent, gossamer kind of sheet that this invisible, huge invisible bird, it was invisible, but I could tell you exactly what it looks like. And it was huge. And it would fly this gossamer, if you will, sheet across the nation, and it would gently lay down on the soil to heal the nation. This is the word. And then when it reached the East Coast, the bird would fly back again so that it, like a second layer would be laid down, and then a third layer going back to the East Coast, and a fourth layer coming back to the West. It was really beautiful. And the Lord also spoke to Ricky. Do you remember what he showed you, honey?
That I saw that it was bringing healing to the land. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. When we were declaring the scriptures, and it was that week, maybe 2 weeks ago now, I saw the healing coming down as the Lord stood over the nation, and we were praying over the wounded soul of the nation. I saw the healing and the penetration of the word into our nation, and I saw that the wounds of the nation were coming up and up out of the nation, and they were, you know, they were, the sun was hitting it, and they were reflecting, and he said to me, he said, as the sun draws the dew out of the soil, I am healing this nation. And it was such a beautiful depiction and of what he's doing, and I shared, you know, and we had no idea how this year would unfold. But on our way back from D.C. in September of last year, you know, I had seen, after that hour of turbulence in the air, I looked out of the window, and I saw the sun hitting the bodies of water through the nation, and it looked like, you know, veins of gold in the earth. And the Lord told me that 2020 would be the year of shaking, but it would bring forth my glory. And so as we have gone through this year, and especially the last several months of this year, and really sown into this nation in intensified prayer and poured out his word onto this nation, it's like it's in there now. It's enriching this nation. And I see what he was saying. He is pouring his word back into the very soil, the bedrock of our country, and it will be a stabilizing force. And so as we saw the sun reflecting, I know that's what the Lord was saying. I'm restoring, and I am bringing forth my glory into this nation. So that's, I think those are the two things that you were referring to.
Yeah. And I will say this, that although the word is being released by our mutual intercession through the word over America, the ultimate healing comes in revival. So when you start seeing revival being poured out over America, you will know that would be your sign to know God has healed our nation. And so the word is doing like a preparatory healing. But, you know, I guess it would be like a person needs surgery, but the doctor says, we need to give you some antibiotic. We need to give you some medication before we do the surgery, because that's what this particular surgery will require for you. And so that's what the word is doing. It's preparing. It is bringing about healing as a preparatory process for God to pour out revival, which then will tell you that the nation is healed. So after that, then we thought we were going to be doing just that for a while. And I do feel like we will be coming back to that kind of thing. But for right now, he is trying, let me say this before I go further. To all of this process of the things that I just mentioned, particularly the repentance, the Lord told me that what we've accomplished in this nation would be likened to Hurricane Delta, how it came up quickly to a level 4. And that day, as I would check on it, they said many times that Delta would, according to their computer, would hit land at a level 4. And so it went, you know, through intercession and went down to 3, to 2, then up to 3. And at some point they were thinking it was going to hit at a 3, but then finally they said, no, we think it'll hit at a 2. So that was half of where it started. And at that, it was a low 2. So that was half of where it started, maybe a little more than half. And they were expecting, you know, huge storm surges and all kinds of disaster that just didn't happen. I'm not saying there wasn't disaster. I'm not saying there were not storm surges. I'm saying it in no way, because it was only a level 2, low to it, that hurricane, it didn't do the damage that they were anticipating. There was damage, but it was not at the level that a hurricane Cat 4 would have caused. So the Lord said to me, this is where you are in the nation. You've prayed, you've interceded. The destruction that was ordained by the enemy to do to America would be likened to a mature Cat 4 hurricane. So we're talking about a Cat 4 that would be getting ready to cross over the line to a Cat 5. This was not God's will. It was not his desire. This was Satan's desire. This was Satan's will. I don't know how much time you have, but maybe I can just try to very briefly give you an example of something that I experienced myself regarding Satan's will over America. The Lord took me into Satan's, I guess, his office. It was a large office. He had behind his desk were many books. And on on built-in bookcases. Also, his desk was kind of flanked by bookcases on both walls, and they were full of books. He walks in, Satan walks in. Now, the Lord took me there, but when Satan walked in, the Lord, it seemed, left, because no matter how hard I tried to locate him, I couldn't find him. So now I'm in Satan's office, alone with Satan. I'm not thinking this is fun. Satan sat down at his desk, and he was just like, you know, huffy. And he starts talking to the wall that was across from his desk. So I looked over to see who or what he was talking to. And what he was talking to was a wild boar. And I've learned since then that, like, in Africa, where they're so common, Africans know wild boars are one of the most dangerous animals in the jungle, because once they set their mind on a prey, that prey is going down. They're not going to leave because they get frustrated over how long it takes. They're very dangerous animals. And so he's talking to this, the head of this wild boar. You know how some men, they'll go hunting and they shoot a mature male deer that has exceptional antlers. So they'll have the head put on a frame. I think they do taxidermy on it or something or other. Well, that's what this wild boar was. It was just the head and the neck on this frame. And Satan starts yelling at this wild boar because he had not yet accomplished the task of bringing America and Israel down. He told him, I told you I wanted America and I wanted Israel, and you still have not put those two nations in my hands. I want you to do what I told you to do. He is so mad. He's livid. And this wild boar had no fear of Satan at all. He just looked at him and he said, will you shut up? You're not going to sit there and yell at me over what we've done or haven't done. We have done everything in our power to bring those two nations down. So just shut up. And Satan said, you're not going to tell me to shut up. I want America in my hands, dead. I want Israel in my hands. And the boar said, you'll get it when we get it. Until then, get off my back. Well, I'd like to tell you that Satan looked stunned. I don't remember that was the look that he had. What he really did look like was livid. He was just as angry as he could be. Suddenly, he just gets tired of arguing with this boar, and whatever came into that boar enabling it to talk left. And so Satan gets up out of his chair and he's just ranting and raving, flinging his arms, when he notices me in the room, which scared me like nothing I know how to tell you. And I'm thinking, I've got to get out of here. This guy's going to kill me. So I noticed that he had a book on his desk. And I know that that book had to do with the church's future, America and Israel. I knew that instinctively. So I thought, I've got to get to his desk. I've got to get that book, and then I've got to get out of here. So before I could think another thought, I ran over to his desk. I grabbed that book. Satan wasn't expecting that, and so he didn't stop me. He just stood there astonished that I would be that gutsy. I grabbed that book, and I ran out the door and up a long tunnel until I reached the surface. Once I got to the surface, I could hear him ranting and raving about paying me back for what I just did, and that he was going to have his will regardless. So I'm telling you this story. This wasn't a dream, guys. I'm telling you this story because I want you to know Satan wants America, he wants the church, and he wants Israel more than you could ever, ever, ever know. And God has been using us, all of us mutually, to stand in the way of Satan's will. And as we continue, rather than the destruction of our enemy, God's going to bring a greater fruitfulness to this country than we have ever experienced. I'm not saying we're not going to have trouble first, and that's why we're getting together tonight, because there is going to be trouble. This fall could be, as I'm sure all of you already know, this fall could be pretty messy. But it is only going to be half as messy as Satan originally planned. He can't make it like he wants to make it, because God has raised up a wall of protection through our mutual intercession over this nation. He's also going to send his glory, and there are going to be so many people saved, not just in America, but all over the world, because you've been faithful to pray. When you get to heaven, you're going to see that you are part of the team, that Jesus is going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Look at all these souls that have been saved because of your sacrifices and your prayers. And you will be blessed according to your willingness to sacrifice and obey him. So this fall, we're going to have some messes we're going to have to stand against, and we're going to have to keep praying for the nation to come up and out of these. We have Miss Hillary, whom I saw in a vision riding a tiger. She was in full witch's garb, and all around this tiger, the darkness, the satanic horrors just surrounded her and this tiger. I asked the Lord tonight, why did he show her sitting on a tiger? And he said to me, because the stripes indicate her desire to rule both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party as a dictator over this nation. And I also saw five in five dreams what Trump was going to do to deal with the New World Order and the Illuminati. And the words that were given to me was warfare by stealth, that they're going to go out at a certain time when they would be least expected and arrest people all over this nation, and I think other nations as well, that need to be tried here in America. They're going to pick them up by stealth. They're going to put them in jail, and they're going to try them, and they're going to be convicted. Trump is going to do this to free this nation of the New World Order and then the Illuminati. Now, I could give you vision after vision after vision of things that are going to happen to free this nation, because I keep seeing them. He keeps encouraging me, and he keeps showing me what he's going to do. But the high seats of the New World Order and the Illuminati really think that they can win. So they're going to fight like we've never seen them fight before. But that doesn't matter, because they're coming down. They're not going to take America. They may be able to mess this country up a little bit. Well, maybe a little bit more than a little bit. But they cannot destroy it. God will not allow it. Anything that they are able to do, God is kind of watching over and giving kind of a permission. I hate to call it that, but it probably is the best word. Only to show America that they are not our friends. They are the enemies of this country. And he will do that with as little warfare as he can possibly do it, and cause their hearts to shift, to change, because they now realize the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Democratic Party are not their friends. When that hits home, the Lord's going to do a clean sweep of their poisonous, vilest, satanic acrobats that they want to do to destroy this nation. They're going to fall into their own trap, let's put it that way. And you see that kind of thing, old and new covenant. When you come up against God's people, you come up against God's plans and purposes, you can do it, but you're going to fall in your own trap. The book of Proverbs assures us that that's what's going to happen. And it is. You will see it. You will see it, you will look at it, and you will thank God for his mercy, his grace, his compassion, his justice, his, what is the word? Grapes of wrath are the word, is a terminology he gave me. Grapes of wrath. But it isn't grapes of wrath on America. It's grapes of wrath on our enemies. We've got to get over this compunction to believe that God wants to really put his judgment on America, put his thumb down on America, and really crush us under his thumb to teach us that he's really angry. That has got to, you've got to get rid of that, because that's not where he is. He talks to me anyone on my team can tell you that. He talks to me all the time about his heart. That's what I want to know. I also need, because I'm a prophet, I also need to know what his plans are. But I really need to know what his heart is. And his heart is to heal, not to hurt. He says, I know the plans that I have for you and that they are for good and not for evil. That is his heart for America. Satan wants to destroy it. God wants to heal it. Satan wants to create a horrible image in the eyes of the world by bringing down the giant of America. And God's going to keep that giant standing. Suffer a few wounds, yes, but he is going to keep it standing. And when he puts it back together, it's going to be more beautiful than it's ever been, because it truly will be one nation under God. So thus, the scriptures as healing balms over this nation. And last but not least is where we are temporarily for now. And that is intercession, declarations, and the healing of the word. That's the kind of praying we're going to be doing for the next 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month, because the whole liberal elite really want to cause a lot of pain and suffering and destruction in this nation. So we will be interceding not only word for word, but through tears, through groaning, through travail. Because they give, it's like those prayers go deep into the soil, and they're very, very powerful when the Holy Spirit is guiding them. If the Holy Spirit isn't generating them, then there's no power at all. And then we will finish with the word, because that's where the healing begins. So we want to ask you, go back to your prayer cells, help them understand what we're doing. Maybe you can get a copy of this tape tonight that Ricky and I are sharing with you, and let your prayer cells hear it so that they can be in sync with us when we are online interceding for America. We're going to be doing that on Thursday and Friday night, but before we say any more, I want to let Ricky please share whatever the Lord has put on her heart.
Thank you, Mom, for everything that you shared. I the only thing I wanted to add was, well, I guess two things, is the importance of helping our people make the shift. We've been weeping for 20 years. We're weepers, you know. When I first started coming to GOEs, the first couple I went to, in fact, the very first one I went to was up in Seattle, and I came into that room and I bawled like a baby. I didn't even know what I was crying about. All I knew is my heart, the spirit of intercession came over me so powerfully, all I could do was weep. And we've been weeping ever since. Before we had translation, Chinese translation available to us, our Chinese speaking intercessors would come in and they would just weep with us, understanding very little about what we were doing. Why? Because we're intercessors and we weep. And so making this shift has been a struggle. If, you know, and I've had people email me about this, and you know, we have as a team met with Mom for her to try to help us understand why, you know, we're not weeping. Shouldn't we be weeping? That's what we do. We bring Kleenex, we bring water, and we weep, you know. but, you know, she's had to, okay, but the Lord says. And so we are making that shift. But over the course of this, she's trying to drag us up from, you know, our faces. you know, I said, Lord, you got to help me understand this a little bit better. Help me understand. Help me just experience it, to feel it, to see what you're saying, so I can engage with your spirit. And, you know, I felt like when we were doing our declarations and we were praying out over the nation and releasing this, I had this this sense that I was picking up the nation, picking up to the next level. You know, that we were, that we had done so much in this nation, and that we've been pushing it up the slope for 20 years, trying to get it out of its pit that it had almost fallen into. But now we're at a cliff, an edge, and we've got to lift it up. And when we engage like this, it's like picking up that heavy item and getting it up on that kitchen table. You know, that's the sense that I have, is that we are lifting it up. We've got this last bit. We've got to get it across. We've got to engage with his spirit. We have to. We have to help him to give us the faith and understanding so that we can engage with his spirit and get this nation across the finish line, get this nation into the position that he has been preparing her for all of these years of intercession and warfare, so that he can release his glory. He can release his revival and bring healing to this nation. It's not just going to heal this nation. It's going to heal the people. And this, when it goes, it will go and spread throughout the earth and bring a healing every nation desperately needs. And so helping our prayer cell, you know, we've got state coordinators on here. We've got our prayer cell leaders. We've got to help our PCMs understand this and help them engage with us. If the Lord says, I just want you releasing scriptures, that's what we need to do. And we have to help them understand this is what God is calling us to do this week. If there is warfare and intercession going on that needs to go because he's revealed something, help them to engage with the shift of what we're doing, because this isn't about we didn't wake up and say, you know, I'm just really tired of crying. I'm just tired of it. You know, let's just declare this is what the Lord said. So we're engaging with him, and it is taking a monumental shift within each of us who have been in this steady flow for 20 years. And so, we have to help them, you know. Some just flow, and I think it's so beautiful. Some are just like, can you help me understand why we're doing this? Or, you know, it seems like this is really important time. Are you sure this is what we're doing? You know, and sometimes I want to say, let me go back to the prophet and see what the Lord has told her, you know. Yes, I'm sure this is what we're supposed to be doing. So help them engage. Help them. I really believe that God will, if we will just ignite our obedience with his commission, his commands, that faith will just unite us with his spirit, and we will soar through this. We will soar through it. And that doesn't mean it's going to be an easy process. I mean the shift will be an easy transition because we're soaring with him through our obedience. And so I think that's really what I wanted to add, is that importance of helping those that we meet with move to this next level. It's so important for our country. It's so important. And what affects America affects the world. You know, today I sent out an email inviting everyone to come and join us this Thursday, you know, but I sent out what our California governor has done over the last 6 weeks or so during the COVID lockdown and the bills that he signed. So if people think, you know, everything will be fine, we just have to wait it out, you know, click on the link and see taxpayer-funded puberty-blocking drugs to be given to children. Taxpayer-funded puberty-blocking drugs so that kids can have and enter into that gender reassignment process as children. All they need is a parent to take them in. That's what our governor has in the works. Not to mention the bill that reduces the penalty if it's under 10 years, if you assault a minor, if it's 10 years difference. Not to mention that one. So diminishing. So if it's a 22-year-old and a 12-year-old, you won't have to register as a sex offender. You know, I told you July 23rd on that message, the Lord told me, under Biden, pedophilia would be legalized. And what Gavin Newsom has done is the first step. So as California goes, so goes the nation. As the nation goes, so goes the earth. It's critical that we engage with the Lord in obedience and get this nation across this finish line. It's critical. We can undo what Gavin Newsom has done. We've just got to keep fighting. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Honey, that was really, really good. Do you know what you're going to entitle this particular file that we're going to put on the website?
No. But it'll be under, we'll put it by date and PCL something. So it'll be in the PCL section. So we'll come up with something.
How about getting the nation across the finish line?
You know, that's really good.
Okay, is there anything you wanted to say, Ken or Debbie?
Yeah, I'd like to just share a couple of things right here at the end, Nita. First of all, I just want to say, you all know this because we talk about this quite often, but the difference between this intercessory ministry and most intercessory ministries is the head of this intercessory ministry is a prophet, a high-level prophet. A prophet to the nations that hears for nations. And so her ear is to the heart of the Lord all the time. And when he has given her an instruction and she brings that back for us and to us, we need to just fall into what the Lord is giving her. Because, you know, we're supposed to function. This army is supposed to function as one. If you would just step back at some point in time and read Joel 2, verse 8, it says they don't jostle each other. They stay on path, and they burst through the defenses unharmed without breaking rank. And so we're a high-level intercessory army. We're not glorifying ourselves. We've just been given this responsibility, and you have been called here, because if you hadn't have been called here, you wouldn't have been able to stay here. So you've been called here for this time, for this purpose, for such a time as this. And so we want to complete the task. We're all, every one of you, every one of us is giving a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of energy, a lot of intercession, not just in the calls, but between that. We're all focused on seeing this nation go over the top, because it has to do not just with the nation. The light of this nation is not just for us. It's for the nations. And if the enemy were to take out America, who would stand with Israel? So the calling that you've been called to as an intercessor and drawn by the Lord or sent by the Lord to this ministry is very serious. And you will, the very things that Nita told you in the beginning of this broadcast, you will be highly rewarded by the Lord for what you have given up, what you've had to do, the time that you've given, the resources that you've given. God will bless you past what you can imagine. But this nation will be thankful that some people like you, like Nita, like Ricky, like me, like all of you, stood in the gap. Because without that, we would have lost this nation. And God is in the process of restoring this nation to what He needs for it to be. Lots of things are going to be shaken. They need to be shaken because they have been put together wrong. And God is coming in this hour. And He's shaken, He's taken down everything that has set itself against this nation being a refuge nation and against His will for this nation. And this is what He's doing in this hour. And you are all a part of this. And don't let the enemy say to you, well, you're just really not doing very much wherever you live. You think you're doing. The enemy tries to come to me all the time and tell me that. And I tell him, get out of here. I know what the Lord sent me here to do, and I'm trying to do and submitting as much as I can to the Lord's will and what He sent me here for. And so it's a serious time. We are in the heat of the battle right now. I know a lot of you are weary. I just want to encourage you to ask God for the grace and ask God for the strength. We're not really too far from this being over.
That's right.
We're really close to coming out of the end of the tunnel, if I can say that. And just press in and let's do what the Lord has need of. And you will be so glad. Your family will be so glad. Your grandchildren will be so glad. We're in the fight for the future. We're in the fight for the kingdom.
Yeah.
Your call for such a time as this,
that's right,
to enforce the kingdom,
thank you,
in this nation. And also to raise it up, to raise the name of Yeshua, to raise the name, the banner, the name of Jesus up, where all men can be drawn to Him. You're on the precipice right now of the greatest revival the earth has ever seen. It will never stop once it starts. But you're on the edge of that right now. And it's like Nita said, when that revival breaks forth, it's going to do its part, and those other nine R's are going to fulfill everything that they're supposed to fulfill. It's going to be a domino effect for God in the sense of those things. And Debbie, if you want to say something, go ahead.
Yes. You know, we've talked a lot about the vision of Joel's army. We've talked about what that means, how that looks like. And as we've talked about, from the very beginning, you know, the Lord told me recently, He said, Joel's army is my provision in the nation. Joel's army is my provision in the nations. Why? Because of what Joel's army was created to do. Joel's army was to go down into the tectonic plate. Those prayer cells that Nita saw, those lights going across the nation, Joel's army prayer cells going down into the tectonic plate to hold the nation steady.
That's right.
We've known that from the beginning. And now we're coming into that time when it's going to be real important that we're there into the tectonic plate for the holding together of the nation in the shaking times. That's why it's so important that you help your PCMs understand this. Have them go back and rethink about, why did you join Joel's Army? What was it about that caused you to come here? What was it that the Lord gave as his vision for the purpose of raising up Joel's Army in this nation? It wasn't just to be another prayer group. It had a purpose.
Right.
It had a specific mission.
It has a mantle.
That's right. And that's why the Lord told me, this is, Joel's Army is my provision.
Amen.
For holding the nation steady. Joel's Army is my provision. So
This is a heavenly concept. This is not something someone come up with. It's a heavenly concept. It was given by the Lord to Nita, and he's given instruction of what he wanted us to do. And as long as we have been in that instruction, God is doing what he said he would do. I want to remind you, we're in 21 years, almost 22 years of this fight. And we were with her in the beginning. And I can tell you, she hasn't let up. From day one that we were with her in the beginning of this, she has not let up. And she has fought unbelievable things that she won't even tell you about. She has fought unbelievable things and has been obedient in this call. And so I'm not trying to lift Nita up. I'm just trying to tell you that this is something we have known her longer than we have been with her in the gatherings. And she has been faithful to what God has called her to do every step of the way. And the times that we were away for a period of time, we stayed in touch. We knew exactly what was going on in the ministry and what God had her doing. And she has been faithful in this. I'm thankful as a pastor, as a leader, as an apostle. I'm thankful to be with a ministry like this that's not afraid to step up to the plate and do what's called for in the hour. You know, in the military, you don't always get to do what you want to do. You know, you're called for missions and certain things, and you have to respond to that until you're released from that. And here we are in God's Army, in Joel's Army, and we're facing really big things. When you see what we have overcome, I don't know when the Lord will reveal that in the fullness. When you see what we have overcome, you will be absolutely blown away, because we don't see it. We don't see it the way he sees it. We don't see what we do and the effect it has in the atmosphere and the effect it has in the nation. We don't see all of that. All we're doing is being obedient to what he asks us to do. But in the day that he tells the story and he shows what actually happened, how the world was almost destroyed, but some people heard his voice. Nita Johnson heard his voice. Some other people heard his voice and responded. And they called people to stand in the gap. They called people that are called to be intercessors. We need you. We need you to come. We need you to intercede. We need you to take your place on the wall, as it were. We need you to come. And you came. You heard the call, and you came. And we need to stay the course of this thing until God has done what he said he would do for this nation. God is not man that he should lie. He is going to do everything that he purposed for this nation. It will come forth. So thank you for letting me share. And Debbie.
Thank you, Ken and Debbie. Thank you, Ricky. I want to also say that I am very committed, but I have to admit, I've watched Ricky go through a lot of trials trying to stop her commitment to this vision. And she is as committed as I am.
Amen.
I never, ever have to wonder where her heart is. She's paid a price, and she has stayed faithful. But I also want to say that about Ken and Debbie. I want to say that about our team, is everyone, and I'm sure that most or all of you would also say this. Everyone has paid a price. There has been times when you maybe would have, could have, even thought maybe you should have done something different, but your obedience to stay the course and to support the call has paved the way for God's blessings in your life, in your family's life, because he's ultra serious about this. He even named the intercessors, Joel's Army. That was a name. We were in the very beginning, we were trying to help people see, intercessors see the value and what God wanted to do. But we couldn't hardly get except a little bit of interest. So I took it to the Lord and I said, I don't know what to do. I've done everything I've ever thought to do, but there's just, we're not getting the response. I don't know what else to do. What can I do? And he said to me, name the army the name I gave you. And I said, Joel's Army? Wow. Wow. Okay. So that was a literal thing. All right. Well, we'll do it. So we had a conference. I don't know, maybe within a month of that time. And we called the conference Joel's Army. And I'm telling you, we had hundreds and hundreds of people at that conference. It turned the whole course of what we were doing. Joel's Army, that's the name God gave you because you are that effective. And because something about that name is making a way where there would seem to be no way, God put something on that name, a mantle, that's allowing us to do what we could not do without it. He's amazing, you know. He's just amazing. So please, may I... Well, Ricky, I'd like you to pray over the people that are online. And please pray a blessing for them.
Sure, sure. Right now? You want me to start now?
Yeah.
Okay. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for every person who's on with us right now. For every person who will go to the website and listen to this after, I want to thank you for every intercessor who stood in the gap for this nation. Thank you for them. So often, Lord, I think about Joel's Army, and I think about what these intercessors have gone through to stay the course, the persecution from their families, the saving up of vacations to come and pray, the fight financially to make this happen, the sacrifice of events, of personal enjoyment, to come and pray. I think about, Lord God, the attacks that they go through, the attacks their family goes through, as the enemy tries to steer them off course. And I am overwhelmed with love for them, with gratitude that they didn't give up. I'm overwhelmed with emotion because their battles have been so great and they stayed the course. And Lord, if I feel this way, I can only imagine how you feel. When you look down upon your sons and daughters, the deep love you have for them, the care you have for their personal interests, the care that you have for their families, the concern that you have for them, Lord God, and how you cradle them. Father, bless them. Bless them, oh God. Bless them. Bless them, oh God. Meet their needs financially. Be with their families. But Father God, their greatest cry would be to know you more, to experience you more, to have a deeper level of intimacy with you. Because that's the heart of the intercessor, to know you more. Bless them with intimacy with you. As they go into their prayer closets, bless them, oh God, with revelation from your word, with understanding of your ways, with a depth, Lord God, of strength that can only come from their time with you. Bless them, oh God. Bless them. Bless them. I know for Mom and I, some of our greatest cries is to see our family members come into the kingdom. Bless them. As the veil is removed from their family members and bring their family members into the kingdom of heaven. Bring them into understanding of who you are. Remove the veil, Lord God, of deception that the enemy has placed over them, and bring their family members in, their parents, their brothers, their sisters, their sons, their daughters, their spouses. Bless them, oh God. Heaps of blessing. I thank you, Father God. So often when I pray for the intercessors, when I pray for this group in particular, I feel an overwhelming abundance of love, like your love for them. I feel like I can't take a breath because my heart is so full of love for them. And I know this comes, Lord God, from you. Let them feel your love for them. It's been a rough year. And in some cases, it seems impossible, but oh God, shower down upon them your love for them, your heart for them.
how much their sacrifice has meant. Their obedience. Let it pour down over them in ways that they would feel, Lord God, the abundance of love that I feel when I pray for them. I thank you, Father God, for each and every one of them. I thank you. In your precious name. Amen. Before we close, we should have Ken do the Aaronic blessing over them too.
Yeah, but let's let Ken and Debbie pray for them first.
Thank you, Lord. Abby, we come before you tonight, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for these, Lord, that have joined us, Lord. Those that you have called to walk with us, Lord, in this hour. God, I ask that your great grace and your great strength would come and lift them up and continue lifting them up during the battle, God. God, I thank you, Lord, for their lives. I thank you for the lives of their families. I thank you for the calling, Lord, that you have put upon them to be with us, to be intercessors, to be drawn to this higher calling of intercession, Lord. I thank you for them. I bless you for them, Lord. God, I ask, Lord, that you would just bless them. I concur with Ricky, Lord. I just feel the love of the Lord. I was just seeing as she was praying that, I could just see the love of the Lord just being poured out on each one of you for your heart, for things that comfort his heart, and for you responding rightfully for what God is saying and doing in this hour, and not being in contention with it, but coming into agreement with it for the sake of the nation and for the sake of what the Lord is going to do, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for these, Lord, that see and are running with the vision, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that they too want to see this nation as a refuge nation. And I thank you for their commitment to see this through, to run this race. I thank you, Lord. I just ask that you, again, you would strengthen them and give them grace for the days that are ahead, God. We thank you, Lord. I ask that you bless them in untold ways, God. God, I ask that you would protect them, Lord, that you'd set your hedge of protection round about them, that the enemy would not be able to come and cause damage and attacks against them and their families, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I ask that you would keep them in this time. I pray Psalm 91, God, over each and every one of them. We often pray that in our staff prayer over all of you. At least a couple of times a week over the intercessors and their families. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for them. They're your intercessors, Lord. God, you have drawn them by your Spirit. And God, we're so thankful that they're with us, Lord, to do the charge, God, that you have given us in this hour, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for their heart. Thank you for their hearing. Thank you, Lord, that they press in to see your will done in this nation, Lord. And God, we just bless you for them. And we thank you, God.
Lord, we thank you, oh God, for where you've brought them from. Lord, we thank you, God, from the very beginning, Lord, until today, Lord. We thank you for the maturity, Lord, that
yes.
you have worked into our intercessors, Lord.
Yes, God.
Lord, we thank you.
Yes.
We thank you for what you have done in them.
Yes.
We thank you, God.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that you're enlarging them. I can still see it. You're enlarging them on the
yes.
inside to receive even more of you,
yes.
of your presence.
You're enlarging their tents.
Yes, to walk even closer with you.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
Lord, I thank you, God. I thank you for them, Lord. And I agree, Lord, right now with you and your plan for each one of their lives, both the ones that are online and those that will later hear this recording.
Yes.
I agree with you and your plan for each of their lives.
Thank you.
And I call your will down, Lord, from heaven to earth, Lord, to manifest and function the way that you have designed it to in their lives, Lord, in the name of Yeshua.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Well, thank you again for joining us. I want to thank Ricky and Ken and Debbie for their prayers over you. I know that they love you. I know that they care about you. So we bless you. We bless you.
Yes.
And thank you again.
Yes. Praise God. Praise God. If you just extend your right hand and just receive the blessing as we go. Yavarecha Adonai v'yishmorecha. Ayir Adonai panavaleka v'ikunecha. Yisei Adonai panavaleka. Velasim lecha. Shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you, and he will give you his true shalom. B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus our Messiah, we bless you. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Bless you all.
Love you guys. Hugs and...